Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Lord, as we open your word today, it's been my desire in this series to encourage every family in our church and to bless the families in our church. And I pray that will continue even today. And I pray, God, that you will just pour out your blessings upon every person in this room, from the youngest baby, and we have beautiful babies here today, to the oldest person. Pour out your blessings upon all of us so that we then can be a blessing in this community. And all God's people said, amen. Well, today I'm going to close out this series that we've been in the last couple of weeks. We've had a lot of fun with this series, maybe more fun than we should have. But this series has 51 words in it. It's the longest sermon title in the history of the church, and I'm kind of proud of that. This is what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. My wonderful, crazy, and I'll admit some of you are kind of crazy, my wonderful, crazy, lovable, but all of you are lovable, my wonderful, crazy, lovable, sometimes not so likable, weird, silly, sweet family. Because we might get on each other's nerves from time to time, that's for sure. And we might even say and possibly do things we may regret, yes. But, I love when there's a but in there. Or if we want to be biblical, we can say, therefore, God is helping us to be the family that He wants us to be. God loves families. He loves your family. However messed up, dysfunctional, weird your family is, my family is, God loves your family. Family was God's idea. Adam and Eve in the garden, be fruitful and multiply, have kids, be a family. You're going to mess things up. And things aren't always going to go well, but God will not give up on you or your family. I just want to encourage and bless your family. And the other fun thing we've done in this series is we've given out gift cards if your family submitted a picture. If you texted me a picture this week, and a couple of you have, and we do have a winning family, and before we put this up, I got to say, I love this picture that you're going to see here. The smiles on their faces just cheered me up when I got the text. And these are amazing, wonderful people, and they win the gift card for today from IHOP. And who doesn't like IHOP? Come on. You can get chocolate pancakes with syrup at IHOP. What's not to like about that? All right, let's put up that picture of these wonderful people who win the prize this week. Isn't that a gorgeous picture? Go enjoy a meal. We love you guys. I just love that. Look at those beautiful faces. So here's the good news. This is how much I love you guys. We're going to continue this for the rest of the year. There are 6 Sundays left in the year 2021. This is your chance to win a gift card for your family. All you have to do is get together and smile and text me your picture. And if your picture makes me as happy as this picture, you're going to win a gift card. You have 6 Sundays left. So, yes, I love your family. I love you. God loves you. Our family kind of had a big deal this week. I remember, it's crazy, remember 16 years and 9 months ago, I stood up here and preached, and I was able to tell the church, we just found out we're having another baby, you know? And little Micah was born, and he was so cute. He's born over here at McKinsey Willamette. I cut his umbilical cord. Just the cutest little kid. And now, this last week, he turned 16. And he's not little anymore. It's debatable of whether he's still as cute as he used to be. No, he's cute. He's actually gorgeous because everyone says he looks like his old man, so. He turned 16, and then the next day he went and took his driver's license test, passed the test, and we have a licensed driver in our home. And so, Micah, come on up here. We just want to say happy birthday to you. He's just a great young man. He's doing well in school, playing football for Thurston. They won their second playoff game Friday night. And you have another game Friday? Who are you guys playing Friday?
Wilsonville.
So back up in the Portland area. So they have another playoff game this weekend. So be looking for number 60 for Thurston. Yeah, Mike is a great kid. Someone asked me, is he a good driver? He's a great driver. I'm not worried about him. It's the other crazy drivers on the road that I'm worried about. He's an excellent driver. He's doing well. But then Micah also has something for someone else in our family today, because not only was it his birthday last week, but today is Renee's birthday. So Renee, come on up here. Micah has something he wants to give you. And you had some words you wanted to say.
Thank you, Mom, for always supporting me in everything I do, and taking me to the places I need to be, picking me up.
Not anymore. Got your car stuck at stop.
For telling me what I need to hear when I don't want to hear it, and loving me, being patient with me, and thank you. I love you.
All right. That was moving, Micah. You did great. You did really good. But you still need to clean your room. Seriously, it's a mess. I walked in there the other day. You need a hazmat suit and some major disinfectant. And so, you got one at work? Well, I may take you up on that. So, happy birthday, Renee. We love you and want the best for you. Thank you, Micah. So, it's a big week for our family, and we just are so grateful to share that with you. One of the things I've been asking in this series is, what's going to make our families, your family, my family, a distinctively Christian family? What's going to set us apart from other families out there? Not that we're any better than other families, we're not, because we all have our issues, we all have our dysfunctions. But I think what the Bible is concerned with is what's going to set us apart as distinctively Christian families who are striving to follow Jesus and be faithful to Him. A couple of things that I've talked to you about is how we are patient with each other. I think followers of Jesus need to practice patience, and we are to do that better than the world does. The Apostle Paul says in his very first descriptive word when it comes to love, love is patient. And so if we're going to love each other and love our family, we have to be patient with them. Then I talked about the words that we use, the way we speak to each other. The way we talk to each other in our homes should be very different than the way the world talks to their family members. Last week I talked about the need to serve one another in love. We are to serve each other. And there's to be a mutual submission, husband and wife and husband, kids to their parents. If all that is working together, there's going to be a beautiful divine flow in your home if we seek to serve each other instead of serve me. And today I want to talk about probably what is the most distinctive quality that will set us apart from other families, is that of forgiveness. The scriptures say that those who follow Jesus, if we're going to be Christ followers, we have to put into practice daily, maybe even multiple times a day, the ability to forgive each other and the grievances that will come up simply by living under the same roof. We are to forgive. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. And let's look again quickly into God's Word about how we are to live with our lovable, sometimes not so likable family. Because if we're going to make our families work, the Bible gives us holy principles that we can put into practice every day that will help us be the family God wants us to be. One of the interesting things, if you study the Apostle Paul and Pauline theology, one of the things he does, and I like that he does it, is that he often does these stark contrasts right next to each other. So, for example, Galatians chapter 5, one of the most important chapters in the Bible. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But right before he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about the fruit of darkness. And he contrasts those very starkly, very differently. Well, he does that here in these two verses that I want us to look at. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Who wants to live in that kind of home, right? Now, I don't know about you, but I know families that live like that. Their home is characterized by bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. And you know what's sad? In just a week and a half, way too many families are going to get together for Thanksgiving, and this is what their Thanksgiving is going to look like. It's sad. It's heartbreaking. I've walked into some homes as a pastor, and the second I step foot into the doorway, I can sense the tension and the anger and the bitterness and the rage. No wonder why their home is so dysfunctional. Because this is what defines them. And honestly, this is what defines the world. This is what life is like without Christ. And so Paul is writing to Christians who are worshiping in house family churches, extended families. And he's saying, okay, if you're going to follow Christ, this is what you need to do. Just like you take out the garbage, you need to take out all the bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. You just need to throw that out like garbage. Just get rid of it. Because this is not how you are to be defined any longer. This is not how you are to be in relation with one another any longer. Here's the sharp contrast that he makes. Verse 32. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, and then here's the key, just as in Christ God forgave you. What a contrast that he makes in his theology. What kind of home do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a home where there's anger and bitterness and just all this ugly tension? Or do you want to live in a home and be part of a family that verse 32 identifies, where there is kindness with one another, compassion, and the key here is forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I've shared this story with you before. I'll share it with you again. In my previous church, my best friend's father worked at a mortuary. And from time to time, he would call me as a pastor to come do funeral services for families who didn't have a pastor or a church home, but they wanted a minister to officiate the funeral. And there was an older lady who passed away. I think she was in her 80s, and she had two sons. These two sons had not talked to each other in years. And I was thinking, okay, maybe over the death of their mother and the memorial service, they would come together and at least grieve together. There was so much bitterness and anger and unforgiveness between these two brothers that they could not even come together for their very own mother's funeral. So I had to do two services. One for the one brother and his family, and then a couple hours later, another service for the other brother and his family. And I thought to myself, how sad is that? That whatever happened in the past, that they could not come together and find forgiveness to even be in the same room together to mourn their mother's passing. We, as followers of Christ, are to live differently. And one of the ways that is to mark us as different is that we forgive. Why is it so hard to forgive? And it is hard to forgive. But it's especially hard to forgive family members. Why? Why was it so hard for these two brothers to forgive? I think it's because it's true that the people we are to love the most, the people who are closest to us, can hurt us the most and do the most damage. That's why sometimes it's easier to forgive a stranger or a friend than it is a family member, because in our family units, we expect to be treated respectfully and lovingly. But when we are hurt, the hurt is so deep that often, many times, unfortunately, it's very difficult to forgive. My next door neighbor is a great guy, and he's been my neighbor for almost 20 years now, which is crazy, but he's become a good friend, and he's a great neighbor. I ask him for help all the time. He's using my chainsaw right now as we speak to cut down some branches. I mean, we're just good friends and we're good neighbors. But the other day, we were talking, and he said something to me, and it really hurt me. It really hurt me. And I know he didn't mean it intentionally. He wasn't malicious about it. It was one of those things where he was kind of trying to make a joke, but he doesn't know my history. He doesn't know how I would receive it. And so it really hurt. And I didn't say anything to him because I don't want to make it a big deal. But inside me, it hurt. What he said hurt. And I struggled with that all day. And I said, God, I need to forgive Dave. I just have to forgive him. I can't let this off comment that he made continue to gnaw at me because it will just get uglier. And so just internally, I said, God, I forgive Dave for what he said. It was one of those moments where it's, God, forgive him, for he really doesn't know what he did. He doesn't really know the extent of the hurt of what he said. So I forgave him that day. I put it beside me. I'm not going to even bring it up to him. It's a done deal. But when family hurts us, that's a little harder, because the hurt is multiplied 1,000 times more. And so when we talk about forgiveness, I understand that it's easier said than done. But we still must learn to forgive. And it's not just a one-time thing. Remember what Jesus said about forgiveness, the 70 times 7 thing? It's an ongoing thing. It has to be part of who we are as followers of Christ. Just as we breathe, just as we eat, just as we sleep, learning to forgive must be a habitual part of the rhythm of your family. Otherwise, Satan will have an in and just cause so much division and friction and hurt and pain. You've heard the saying, the family that plays together stays together, or the family that prays together stays together. And I would encourage you guys as a family to pray. Get together every night and just open God's Word and read together from God's Word. And then spend some time praying for each other. Your home is to be a mini church where God is honored and God is worshiped. And the Christian principles that we're talking about are put into practice every day. Play together, pray together. But I want to give you some principles where the family that forgives one another lives in peace with one another. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. The family that forgives one another lives in peace with one another. And one of the ways that I pray for you and your family is that the peace of Christ would just overwhelm your home. There are homes that I've walked into and I could just sense the love and the peace of Christ. and I can tell that God is the Lord of this home. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, yes, in your homes, yes. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Let the peace of God just overwhelm you. But you can't get there unless you forgive. Let me tell you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not keeping yourself in a place where you are continually being hurt, abused. If you're in a situation where you are being harmed or wounded emotionally, sexually, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, forgiveness does not mean you stay in that situation. You need to be safe. You need to take care of yourself. You need to protect yourself. If you're in a place where you're being abused or hurt or suppressed and you need someone to talk to, you need a safe person to talk to, come talk to me or come talk to one of the leaders in our church because you need help. Forgiveness does not mean you are anybody's whipping post. But you do need to take care of yourself, okay? The family that forgives one another also lives with joy with one another. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 13. This is another mark of a forgiving family. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So forgive one another so that joy can reign in your home, that your joy may be complete as you abide in Christ. The scriptures have a lot to say about joy. We're thinking about the season of Advent in just a few weeks. And one of the marks of Advent is joy. Joy to the world. Yes, we want joy to the world, but guess what? I want joy in your home as well. And you get there by forgiving one another. The family that forgives one another also lives to bless one another. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, love. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. When you forgive, you are extending blessing, and the promise is then you will inherit a blessing in return. And finally, I want to say to you this morning, the family that forgives one another lives to intentionally love one another. Love one another. You know how many times that phrase, love one another, appears in the New Testament? Over a dozen times. And we're going to look at each passage this morning, and I'm going to... No, we're not. But over a dozen times, the New Testament says, love one another. Or as the great philosophers of our day, Bill and Ted, say, be excellent to each other. Love one another with the love of Christ. I do want to close with this. Take your hymnals and turn to 735. Responsive reading 735. Because the greatest of these is love. The title of the responsive reading is Christian Love. But if you look right above that, this is under the title of the church, family and relationships. May this be your anthem, your prayer for your family and for every one of your relationships as we strive to be distinctively Christian families, distinct from the world, different from the world. I'll read the regular print and you read the bold print with me. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.